afternoon. This is Carol Moyle, Committee Assistant, Environment and Energy Committee. Today is July 1st, Friday, 1:30 p.m., Hearing Room E. Agenda for today includes a work session on Senate Bill 237 relating to exclusive farm use zones and marginal lands.
Environment and Energy will come to order. Clerk, if you will please make note of those present, those not here, are excused. We have a work session today on Senate Bill 237. We also have a floor session at 2:15.
Have this thing settled by 2:15.
Let me just talk a minute about what we've been doing and what I guess I see this bill as doing. Some of you have already heard this, but I will repeat it once again. I think on marginal lands, we are going into an area that we have not tested or gone into before. I see the real force of this occurring probably in 85 after counties have had an opportunity to test it with reporting back to the Joint Committee on Land Use of what has happened, what are the good things, what are the bad things about marginal lands. Has it done what this committee has intended it to do? It seems to me as we've gone through this, there are a lot of unanswered questions that nobody has the answer to, and we won't have the answers until we try it. I also see that the benefit of doing this is that for the first time since 1974, we are saying we recognize some lands that probably should not be in EFU, should be classified as something different than that, and are putting forth the concept more than anything else of marginal lands. We have had a task force made up of Gordon Fultz and Russ Niebaum from the counties and from Ag for Oregon. We have had Hector McPherson and Dick Banner working together to try to come up with some compromises to make sure that what the bill says actually says it, and that what's in there is workable for the counties. And I ask, in fact, last Friday I asked Mr. Fultz to make sure that, wanted him involved in this to make sure that what we have in here is administratively possible for the counties. We are waiting for a minute. We have some amendments that were put together by those two county members in Ag for Oregon that we are running off. So we are waiting for those amendments so the committee can deal with those.
Madam Chair.
Representative Van Leeuwen.
If we are at a stall for a moment, would it be out of line to ask the two county planners to show us their maps that they did put together but didn't get together quite as soon as you wanted them together?
And what two counties are that, Representative?
Lynn and I think the other one's Crook.
Okay.
I think they've got them where they can.
Marv, do you have your?
Madam Chair.
Representative Tripp.
Just a procedural question. Are we in a public hearing or are we in a work session?
We are in a work session.
Okay. What are we to anticipate today? Will we be taking public testimony? Or is this a work session for going through the bill and making some decisions?
It is a work session for making decisions going through the bill.
Okay, so if somebody has a specific question for someone,
right,
then that is okay. So
yes.
If Representative Van Leeuwen has a question she wants to ask someone, fine. Otherwise, we will not be taking public testimony.
That is correct.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
I think this might be an exception. We did request the county planners to bring people in from Eastern Oregon, Southern Oregon, around the state to tell us how these various systems work in their areas, and there are a couple of them here today, and I think they ought to have the courtesy to present what they have.
Madam Chair.
Representative Tripp.
I'd like to remind the committee that this is the 21st hearing and work session we've had on this bill, and my understanding was that the committee would be working on trying to decide the final policy questions today, and I think that's what we ought to do with our time here today. This is the 21st hearing and work session, and if there are people from around the state that had public testimony to provide, I think they could have done that in any of the prior 20 hearings and work sessions.
Madam Chairperson.
Representative Priestley.
I move that the committee allow Representative Van Leeuwen and the counties to make their presentation that she'd like to have them make.
Representative Priestley, I don't think that that motion is appropriate. Representative Van Leeuwen has already asked, and I have said fine that they could come up and do that. Marvin, do you want to come up and see what you've done on your map?
Do you want this?
Oh, please, go. It would be embarrassing.
Okay. Very briefly.
Marvin, Liz, would you put your mic up, and we need your name for the record, Marvin.
Marvin Deloach, Lynn County Planning Department, also representing the Association of Oregon County Planning Directors. About a week ago, you asked for additional information. I prepared two maps of various townships within Lynn County. In other words, each of the maps are 6 miles square, indicating that if the original test, which is in 237, were to be applied, the 100 acre with 50% in parcels of 20 acres or less, what the specific impact would be. For your benefit, the areas in orange are the areas that would meet the parcelization test. We, of course, did not have time to deal with the $20,000 income test, and the other test is basically academic because virtually all the land involved is class 4 or better, or would meet the forest classification rule. The areas in orange, as I indicated, would meet the test. The areas in purple either are urban growth boundary in one case or in other areas are rural residential areas, which would be handled by an exception. You can see that in this 36 square mile area that there are approximately 9 areas that would meet the test on parcelization. It is my belief that the $20,000 income test in most of these instances would be academic because in most of the instances the property has been parceled so that it's small enough, too small, where you would probably not have farms that would meet that type of test. But this is basically for your information, showing an example of a situation as to how the bill would be applied under the minimal test.
Madam Chair,
half of these are less than the 320. There are about two areas here that are over 320 in size.
Representative Bradbury.
I'm just curious which test you applied to come up with it. I mean,
this is strictly the parcelization test using the 100 acres.
100 acres.
And the 50% of the land being in parcels 20 acres or less.
Okay, now there has been some desire on the part of the counties to move to a quarter mile perimeter.
Perimeter.
Which now there's a new proposal on that, which is a little more flexible than that. Do you have any indication of what effect that would have?
If the quarter mile perimeter were to be used in this particular township, only area, unless exception areas could be added
no,
to that.
Exception areas could be added.
The exception areas, all our discussions in recent days have all included exception areas.
It's clear that the majority of this area, probably some of this area, and would probably meet that test. The other areas more than likely would not.
With the exceptions in there?
Uh-huh.
And this is only on the parcelization, and it is not on the soil classification?
No, because I'm sure that virtually all that land is class 1 through 4. That does meet that. In other words, it is it within the broad definition as required.
Where is this?
The area involved, this is the city of Sile, right here. So it's the, basically just 25 miles southeast of where we are today. And it is an area along Thomas Creek, which is east of Sile.
Okay, and your other map, Mark?
The other map is another, just another example.
Same test?
Same test. This is an area which is a little further into the foothills. It includes a community called Lacombe, which is north and east of Lebanon, and is located in this area where there is a lot of parcelization having taken place. In this case, there are approximately 9 square miles out of the 36 square miles that would meet the test at the 100 acre. As you can see, the pattern is very segmented. And if you were to apply the 1/4 mile radius test, it's clear that this type of an area, the one in the southwest, and perhaps some of this would probably meet that test. So this is just a specific example of the application of the bill, which I thought you really ought to see.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you doing that. Now we have someone from Crook County. Thank you for coming that distance.
My name is Bill Zelenka. I'm the planning director.
Bill, just in the mic, would you just give your name again?
Bill Zelenka. I'm the planning director for Crook County. My map, which I have here, shows the county in its entirety. In reviewing the bill, whether it would be 100 acre parcel size, 320, a quarter acre, whatever we're looking at least in our county sense, I could not find more than a couple areas that would even qualify under that, and those small parcels already have houses built on them, so at least that first test would not apply. So what I tried to take a look at was the soils, because the soils were 5 through 8. About 85 or so percent of Crook County is zoned exclusive farm use or forest. The area that you see kind of in a reddish purple color here is our primary rangeland zone, with the exception of this area here is the Maori Mountains, which is a forest zone. The area that is colored are those soils that are class 5 through 8. This zone happens to be our biggest and our prime ranchland area. And in meeting the other requirements then of the test of income, I haven't been able to find an area that I can use the marginal lands bill. So what I'm faced with is looking at the parcelization test, not being able to meet it, looking at the soils part of it, and not being able to meet the test of the bill. An average size for a ranch in this particular area is probably closer to 5 to 10,000 acres in size. There are very few small parcels anywhere around. The other area, which is located in the green, the city of Prineville, is right here. We've got two areas that we have for irrigated cropland. That is our second type of agriculture. These are the areas in green that would fall within class 5 through 8 soils within there. Again, the same basics hit up on it. In all these areas, there are large commercial farms and operations, and the marginal lands bill again wouldn't qualify in there. The additional problem I think that at least I have from being on the east side of the mountain is that under the agricultural goal and in the adoption of our plan, we've established, at least in our own area, a rangeland policy, and looking at that as other type of agriculture, because most of our agriculture is not the irrigated agriculture or cropland, but is actually cattle and sheep raising. And we've been, for all these years, telling people we're preserving our agricultural land, especially our ranch land, which goes up to class 6 soil. And now, under this definition here, under marginal land, we're looking at class 5 through 8, and we're saying it's marginal. It's kind of a slap in the face, I think, at least in that respect, where we're telling the large commercial ranches that their lands are marginal, and we've been telling them all along we've got to preserve them because they're good. I think the only point being is that I think what has been missing is addressing the issue of that type of agricultural land, that type of diversity that exists, at least on the east side of the mountain, before addressing marginal lands, because we may, and I would not offer a suggestion today, but there would, I would think, be a different type of criteria needed for marginal lands, at least when you're looking at ranch land.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bradbury.
I don't think it's quite right to say the bill says that the land is marginal if it's 5 through 8. What it says is it's marginal if it's 5 through 8 and it did not contribute to a ranch producing $20,000 in gross income. So we are still saying to your ranchers that their farmland, which is producing gross income, is an important asset, agricultural asset to the state of Oregon, and should not be considered marginal.
By circumstance, because they've got it large enough, though. But if somebody happened to have a smaller piece that the, and didn't produce $20,000, that theirs isn't.
I see.
Madam Chairperson?
Representative Priestley.
Would you tell me what the purple or chartreuse and what the green is again?
Okay. This is the area that by the soil's definition would meet class 5 through 8. Our best rangeland are class 5 and predominantly class 6 soil are our best grazing lands.
And the uncolored portions
within the uncolored little portions along in here are little river bottoms, and we've got some class 3 and 4 soils along some of the creek bottoms. And some of those aren't really that good because a lot of them are alkali.
And the green is what?
The green, again, would be the 5 through 8 in what we, in the area that we have our irrigated cropland. So this is really ranch land area, and this is more irrigated cropland.
Does any of your county meet the, or what? To what extent does any of the your county meet the tests, go through the various hoops that they're required?
The first test, if we're looking at 20,000 and earning less than $20,000, most of our larger operations, of course, are far in excess of that. We've got a lot of farms that have large irrigation bills than that. In trying to find, and maybe our county, and our county is not unique in Eastern Oregon, where we don't have a lot of small parcels. Just historically, there just hasn't been the people out there to split up a lot of small parcels. So when we're trying to find enough parcels to meet this 50% test under parcelization, we can't find it. At least not in an area, and then also have the income. So in effective terms, while at least it's been reported to us on the east side of the mountains that this is kind of the Eastern Oregon, Southern Oregon farm bill or marginal bill, it really doesn't apply. And I've talked with the spine director that represents Sherman County, Grant County, Deschutes County, and they've all said, with the exception of some areas in Deschutes County, that they could apply it. And it won't apply in, at least in Sherman and Grant County, and only in limited areas in Deschutes County.
Madam Chair.
Representative Troop.
Would it be safe to say that there are possibly some counties or major portions of some counties that would not have marginal lands under those tests, that it would not be appropriate to divide them into 10 or 20 acre parcels? Is it possible to say that some of those 5 and 10,000 acre ranches, or some of those 4 and 500 acre farms that are irrigated, would not be marginal, would not be subject to division? And if you have a county like Crook or a county like Wheeler that hasn't had a lot of recreational development or urban sprawl from a major metropolitan area, that it may not apply to major or substantial portions of the county.
I don't think the bill itself would apply to majority of the areas. I know in talking with John Anderson, who's the planning director of Deschutes County, a lot of the areas that would meet especially the parcelization and the income test, is already in what they call a multiple-use agricultural zone, and they also have another agricultural 20 zone. And they've already got that taken care of.
Madam Chair?
Representative Tripp.
Well, then what changes would you want to make in the bill? If some counties have that taken care of, and if other counties maybe don't have marginal land, unless you start dividing up some of the large ranches or some of the irrigated farms or getting into some of the productive forest lands, what would you want to see something apply would you like to see another criteria so you could divide up major portions of Crook County, or should we do something to impact Deschutes County that's already taken care of, or could it be said that there are a couple of counties or some counties in the state that may not have the need for this bill, so that's fine, but other counties do?
All right. At least from our perspective, Crook County isn't looking up at splitting anything up. I think one of the biggest things we're looking at is that if there is a marginal land bill that's going to be developed and is designed for Eastern Oregon, then at least it should be able to be used in Eastern Oregon. Right now, I don't know of very many places, and there probably are some, because I haven't covered the entire east side of the mountain. But there are possible other areas and other criteria, whether or not it's based on distance from the existing development of the town, or based upon water supply, or based upon some other type criteria that allows a farmer or rancher to split off a non-productive hill for a non-farm home site, because that's how a lot of our, especially our cropland farmers are making a go of it. Even the largest potato farmer we have in the county has had to make a couple of splits, and he's done it on rocky soil where there's non-irrigation and so forth, and under the existing EFU statutes we have that ability.
Representative Anderson.
I guess I have sort of two questions, Bill. You've been around there for a while. Is there any desire from the people, say, in Prineville, to be able to locate a home outside the urban growth boundary? Is there a need for marginal land? And the other question is, how did Crook County vote on Proposition 6?
There's an ongoing pressure in this part of the county, which is also these two areas, which are irrigated cropland. There's, since I've been there, and I've been there a little over 4 years, there's always been some pressure for developing non-farm home sites. The pressure out in our Powell Butte area, which is a major potato and alfalfa growing area, is coming over from the Deschutes County push. And Crook County, though, on a basis, aside from the desire of individuals there for it, Crook County has been pretty hard about granting, splitting up very much the farm ground. And what we're doing right now is the existing criteria under 215 to put them off. If we do allow them, put them off on the corner somewhere up on a hillside and out of the way. In terms of how Crook County voted, until last year, they'd always supported the LCDC. This past year, they voted for repeal of LCDC by a small margin.
Bill, I think there may have been some misconception. I don't think this bill was necessarily designed for Eastern Oregon. I think it was designed to look at lands that were parcelized and look at lands that people thought were non-productive, that may be marginal, and looking at a little different designation, if that would meet the needs of some counties, and that there are some counties that would be able to use it more than other counties.
I understand the optional part of the bill, although the entire bill only is optional, the part is mandatory, and I suppose given the context where if we couldn't qualify under the marginal, and if there were some additional proposed changes on my understanding, there's a little give and take. The EFU is going to be tightened up substantially, and if we can't even qualify then under the marginal aspect, then all we've ended up doing is losing quite a bit. And I think even our own I suppose past record, at least in our county, points out in the 5 years that we've had an acknowledged plan, or 4 years, that we haven't given away, I guess, the farm, so to speak. We've had really very little to go on. And I don't think there's a big push to cut up all the farm ground out there. I would say that it'd be my hope that at some point in time, if we're defining marginal land, like I said, that we also then recognize and not have too much conflict between recognizing some type of rangeland or ranch land east of the mountains, when on the surface of it, it appears that, at least to people over there, that they're being told on one hand they got to be in an EFU, but that again on the surface that maybe they're marginal. And I think that there's got to be some recognition of the types of agriculture. I think we've always been pushing this, at least from the Planning Directors Association since I've been around, and it of course hasn't gotten very far. And I know that the new LESA system coming out on the LESA is at least certainly a good attempt at trying to distinguish that.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair.
Representative
Anderson. Question. Sure. Relative to what he said, how would 237, as maybe we're doing it, how would it impact the EFU zones and the ability that they have for the exceptions process, like he explained here, when several of the farmers to survive have had to sell off a part of their property? What impact, what is the interrelationship here between the two, with between goal three and whatever this would be?
Well, most of this, you're not changing anything. You're not changing 215.213 so they could, you know, get a home. You're not changing. In fact, it's been amended in on 2295, a much broader exceptions process that they could still go through. There's still several avenues in this bill that's not been taken away.
That's what I just...
Yeah, that's not been taken away.
I wanted to hear
And I think you would find that the tightening up is not going to affect Eastern Oregon like it is in some of the...
He spoke to Nancy Wolf.
No,
I
took
that.
Oh, 215. In some of the Willamette Valley. Any other questions? Let me go through amendment I would like to offer to the committee. You've got it, one of your packets.
Where's our other thing?
It's on the parcelization test. That from the county, the task force recommended that we use, because they said the, at least what we heard from the planner from Salem, said it would be easier to administer a quarter mile of the perimeter of the proposed marginal lands than it would be to do the 100 or 320 acres. So we looked at that, and I also looked at the fact, if you wanted to do it legislatively instead of applicant-initiated, and as a way to sort of all at once get some lands in, you could move that quarter mile around so that when you draw that quarter mile and the one piece you're testing, if you're doing it legislatively, that anything within that quarter mile that also meets the income test could be included as marginal. So if you draw that quarter mile around a perimeter of one of the parcels and it meets a test of 50% or 20 acres or less, then that you would include everything in that area as marginal as long as it meets the income test. And that would, I would think, help out with the counties instead of going through, you know, one application at a time saying, here's one application, we'll draw the quartic around that. It would give the counties, it seems to me, some flexibility on where they located. And then anything, if it just touches a piece, anything within that would be considered marginal. I would also include on that test for parcelization that the rural residential or exceptions be included in the calculations, and that you would leave the contiguous owned by spouse, parent, or child, or sister, brother, and except you would say if it is separated by a road, it could be counted as two separate, it would not be counted as one parcel.
Are you reading from something that I could read along with?
Yeah, right here. No, no, it says by Representative Hooley, right there.
On this one.
That first one.